really good to have Matt and Barb Douglas. I'd not met them before in any of our other churches. And so we have a couple of missionaries like that. Some, when I came here, I discovered they're missionaries I've known for many, many, many years. And then some I didn't know at all. And so, you know, it's a great joy to be able to meet new people who are in the work and doing what God has called them to do. So, we got a chance to do that at the Bible conference this week in Fresno. We met there and had some time to talk a little bit. And then, Friday, Matt made me take him golfing. Yeah, I know. So the next step is I'm going to have to go down to Australia and play golf with him down there. That's just the way it works, right? Anyway, Matt, it's good to have Barb, you, the two of you to get here today. And so come and share what God is doing in your work there in Australia. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. It has been good to get to know you a little bit. We have had a number of our churches that have changed pastors. This just being one of seven since last time we spoke in the different churches. And it's always encouraging when we find a guy we like in the church. You never know what you guys are going to be up to while we're away. And so we are excited for the choice that you have made as a church in calling a good man of God to come and help lead you into the path that God has for you. Barb and I have been your missionaries for probably almost 25 years. We really appreciate the partnership that we've been able to be involved in and be able to serve for you in your place, because not all of you can or would want to pack up and move to Australia or go to the places that Barb and I serve. Though we've always invited you to come. And so, Pastor, yes, if you will find your way down to Australia, we would gladly have you there just to see what the Lord is doing. We always try to give you a little bit of a taste of what the Lord is doing on the field where we serve. If you go to our website, and they're always on the prayer card, you can always look it up that way. You can, year by year, see a short little video, and we always keep them short, of what our ministry has been like over the past year. So rather than give you the full 4 years of videos from the last time that we were here, we were last here just over 4 years ago, we're only going to show you the last year in a short little clip this morning, and it goes by really quick. Have to buckle up there, and we'll see if we can get that rolling. Can we do it?
We are Matt and Barb Douglas, serving with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. We serve in church planting in the greater Illawarra area of New South Wales. Our emphasis is to get people to come to God and then grow in Christ. Part of church planting is maintenance, remodeling, and reconstruction. Several of the projects recently accomplished include building a fence, remodeling a kitchen and laundry room, and rebuilding an exterior wall. We were also privileged to host a couple of international short-term exchange students. Some of our outreach opportunities include the local Spring into Carmel Festival, activities in our local community, Bible studies, our first Holiday Kids Club, or VBS, and scripture teaching in the public schools. Our church has joined with the Australian Fellowship of Bible-Believing Churches. Other major ministries include a university Bible study and a nursing home ministry. Sports event evangelism is a new part of our ministry, which takes about 10% of our time. In 2017, Matt visited Russia to prepare for this year's FIFA Soccer World Cup outreach, and he also visited Tokyo to begin preparations for the 2020 Summer Olympic outreach. Find out more about our ministry on the web. Joined with the Australian Fellowship of Bible-Believing Churches. Other major ministries include a university Bible study and a nursing home ministry. Sports event evangelism is a new part of our ministry, which takes about 10% of our time. In 2017, Matt visited Russia to prepare for this year's FIFA Soccer World Cup outreach, and he also visited Tokyo to begin preparations for the 2020 Summer Olympic outreach. Find out more about our ministry on the web.
All right, we'll talk about some of those aspects during the message this morning. And as some of you have been here for a while know, I tend to preach and use illustrations from the field to bring out how Scripture all fits together. And if you have your Bibles this morning, would like to turn with me to John chapter 1. The book of John, chapter 1. Great book. I love the book of John as far as the Gospels go because, in some ways, I relate to John a little bit better than some of the others. John is a person who uses words to try to really impact people's hearts. Not just their heads, but their hearts and where they're at. You know, some things in life are very exciting. Some people get very excited about, a lot of different things. It might be a vacation or a trip coming up. Within a month, we will be up to our son's graduation from university, and then 2 days later, his wedding. So if you remember our son Luke, he's now Luke, you know, he's not Luke anymore, and he graduates top of the university, top marks for his class with a political science major, because he believes that we need a little bit more integrity in our politics. Imagine that. So he took a political science major and graduates in, what is it, May 5th, not too far away. And then he's getting married to a wonderful young lady just 2 days later on a Monday, May 7th, up in Salem, Oregon. We'll be heading up that way very soon to be there to be able to help with a wedding and some of those kind of things. Other things that get people excited, new birth. I'm sad to say we don't have any grandchildren yet. Our daughter Amy is married, been married for 4 years, living in Albuquerque, serving the Lord there and enjoying what the Lord has for her. She works in an insurance agency, talking to the doctors who call in to find out if people are covered for certain procedures and that kind of thing. And she also trains new people who are going to be working there. She's married to a wonderful young man who does background checks. We're excited for the life that the Lord has for them. They're paying off debt, which they had plenty of after school. School bills, you know, college debt. It gets pretty high these days. And they don't have any grandchildren to announce to us yet. We are getting quite eager. Yet, that's kind of the way life goes sometimes. But we are looking forward to that day when we will hear an announcement. It may come from Luke before it comes from Amy. But we're looking forward to that announcement when we hear of grandchildren on the way. That will happen, we trust. And we will be quite excited when we finally hear of that time. But the same really is true about spiritual birth. Spiritual new birth has, or should have, a great impact in our lives and the joy that we have in serving Christ. You know, we as your missionaries have seen dry and dying churches spring back to life when people observe changed lives and people coming into a right relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is really why we are your missionaries. The current ministry that we're involved in is a small church that, as you could see, we have several buildings. This church with small property, but they have four buildings, two houses, two church buildings. And when we went there, it was three people. They could each take a building on Sunday morning and not even see each other. But God is doing a good work and reestablishing His work in that place. And we are seeing new spiritual birth as well as people being baptized and wanting to go forward for Jesus Christ. Let's illustrate that a little bit with what's going on in this passage here before us this morning. We're going to jump kind of into the middle of John chapter 1, and we'll, if time gives us the opportunity, go all the way down through the end of chapter 1. I'm going to have to see what we've got here. We're going to be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to see our theme through this whole passage is come see is an invitation and an opportunity. An invitation and an opportunity. Looking first off at the reality, just to get the context a little bit, see verse 19 there in John chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the testimony of John. That's John the Baptist here, not John the writer of the book. John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Great question, actually. Jump down to verse 24 with me. Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor a prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he is or was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Holy Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remain on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." And again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looked at Jesus as he was walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." As we look at this passage this morning and the passages beyond this, the first thing that we need to see is the preeminence of Christ. The preeminence of Christ is the key throughout the whole of the New Testament, but especially in this very passage here. Jesus Christ is the key. Why? Because God knows that we all need something greater than ourselves. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He is the Son of God. He is the one that God has the plan for. Our church replant is, you know, I often have to preach and coming up with illustrations, trying to make clear what it is that God is like and what it is God is saying and how God is working and how that relates to our different lives. And we live in a beautiful, beautiful location. Barb and I have enjoyed parking the trailer out here and enjoying the woods out this way. And yet, where we live, we are about a mile from the ocean, this Pacific Ocean, beautiful spot. But just about a mile the other direction is a mountainous escarpment that goes straight up to about 3,200 feet from ocean level. Whoosh, straight up, sheer cliffs. And it's beautiful. We have Broker's Nose Mountain just off out our back deck that we can see from the home that God allowed us to have there. Beautiful spot. And I often try to lift our people's eyes and see there is something greater than ourselves here. Life in this world is not all about me and my comfort, or me and getting what I want, or me and my way. God has a bigger plan. If we only look at who we are and what we are, even as a church, if we only look at us as a church and who we are as a church, then we don't see the people out there yet that God would have us reach, that God would have us bring into the church, because we sometimes get too satisfied with exactly where we're at. So one of our biggest tasks as your missionaries is not only to keep our eyes lifted on what God might be doing, but also to continue to work with the church, with God's people, and get them to lift their eyes to see what God sees and to see from God's perspective. The preeminence of Jesus Christ really, really is the key here. Some people would say, you know, with all that's going on in our world and with all that's going on in the things around us, why does Christianity deserve another chance to make its case? Right? I mean, there are plenty of people here in California who would tell you, we've got to move beyond that. We've got to have the inclusion of everybody now, right? And everything. They flat out announced today, this week, that we can no longer refer to people in just two gender forms. Because I heard one person say that it was sin to do so. Say what? So they've completely redefined what is sin. Because God made them male and female. Not, as this person said, 148 different genders. When did we change reality? Reality didn't change. People's hearts changed because they wanted to walk away from the preeminence of Christ. We work both in our church planting there in Australia. We also work during the, as we showed in the video, during the greater sporting events in the world. This year is the Soccer World Cup in Russia. 12 different cities around Russia. Do you know that for about 1 month, Russia will receive 4.2 million international visitors? And many of them are bored with heaps of time on their hands with nothing to do, because there's only going to one game a day if they can do that. And, you know, even as much as I get around, I won't go to a game every day I'm there. There are days when there's just no games in the area. And so they sit around, or they go to the tourist sites, or they go to the parks. And what's the number one thing people like to do? They like to talk with people from all over the world. Why not talk with a Christian? Why not get a conversation going about Jesus Christ? In the last World Cup that was down in Brazil, in 2014, I and five other people had the opportunity to share Christ with a number of people. 75 of them responded, gave their life to Christ, and are now part of a local church in one of 8 different countries of the world. because God had us go to Brazil for a couple of weeks. God does wonderful things when we get out there and share with people who he really is. Well, we could have all kinds of pictures up here. Look at with me at how it talks about God being the one who has chosen us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. Not to ourselves, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us acceptable in the beloved. As I look at this passage, I not only see the preeminence of Christ, I see the plan of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. It says it both in verse 29 and in verse 36. You see it there? Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus come and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Right there at the end of the passage, verse 36. And looking at Jesus as he was walking, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." God exists. Don't listen to the world. They're trying to tell you God doesn't exist. There's no such thing. Well, even nature declares that God exists. And he does have a plan. That's the whole implied bit behind the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That means that God does exist and he does have a plan. What's the Lamb about? Well, the Lamb extends all the way back into Genesis, where because Adam and Eve sinned, a lamb was killed to give them clothing, covering. It goes into the Old Testament sacrificial system. It goes into the Passover lamb that they were able to, and still do. Some Jews still celebrate Passover. It was just celebrated recently because they were looking for, they're looking back at the time when God passed over the judgment of them. They weren't looking for the Passover lamb, who is Jesus Christ, most Jews. We have so many stories we could tell you of how God has a plan. Back last Easter, so just over a year ago, we had our service early, which is a custom in Australia. They tend to move the service early on Easter Sunday. And so we had our service early and we had just completed our Easter service and we're all excited about it. I finished preaching and prayed and lifted my eyes after saying amen, and there was a young couple who walked in the door just a little bit early for the standard service, but it totally missed our service. And most people think, oh man, that's so sad. And yet Michelle and the guy who walked in the door with her, Sean, it was God's plan. Why? Because they needed first to meet us as people. And then see how much of a difference God makes in our life. We invited them, even though they were really embarrassed that they missed the church service, we invited them to the coffee and morning tea after the service, because we had a few things out in our little coffee room there and talked with them and got to know them a little bit and found out they were living in the area and really thinking that it was probably about time to give God another look and start figuring out where it was and what they were doing. And we invited them to come back the next week and said, promise, we'll be regular time next week, okay? And things will go well. Well, Barb had the opportunity as she was coming along to begin discipling this young lady who had a lot of questions, a lot of confusion, had a lot of different thoughts and weird thoughts in her mind about what being a Christian was all about. You know, if you talked with unsaved, unchurched people in this community, I'm sure you'd get a lot of different thoughts about that as well. Yet Barb was able to disciple her, and through that process, she actually came to Christ, I believe. And as she came to Christ and she was listening to what was going on in the Bible studies and in the Sunday services, she began to get a desire to get back with her husband, who is not the guy she walked in the door with. And just the day before we came back, or just the Sunday before we came back, we had the opportunity to baptize Michelle and her husband. And they are now a strong, regular part of our church, active in our church. You know what blessed me most about the first part of the service this morning was seeing the number of people involved. To me, as a missionary, that's encouraging, really greatly encouraging. And I was blessed to see the number of different people that were doing different things. That is wonderful. Michelle and her husband are now the ones in our sound booth. They're now the ones who are coming in and turning on the heat or turning on the fans or, you know, setting the room up and making sure the papers are picked up off the... They're active and involved in our church because they have seen that God has a plan for their life. The Lamb of God was about more than just something God was doing in the past. It's also about something that He's doing in the present. I see one more thing here. He's the Lamb of God who deals with sin. Jesus deals with sin. Verse 29. What does it say there at the end of the... Not only is the Lamb of God, but who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus' plan is to meet the need that I must be honest about. I cannot deal with my sin other than to make it worse. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, God's plan to take away the sin of the world, of anybody who would come to Him in faith, of anybody who is willing to leave their plan to follow His plan. We had the opportunity when we were down in Rio de Janeiro during the Summer Olympic Games in 2016 to speak again with many, many people about Jesus Christ. And while we were there, one of our friends that was on our team was sharing with somebody about sin and the problem with sin, how it separates us from God and it gives us wrong relationships and really messes up our life. And the guy that he was talking with just really, that was his stumbling point. He could not get over that point because he didn't believe that the things he did were bad enough to be classified as sin. Because he wanted to define sin. He didn't want God defining sin. He didn't want the Word defining sin. He wanted to define sin. And isn't that what happens so often in our society today? People redefine things so that they look all right. Well, as our friend was debating and talking back and forth with this individual about what sin really is, finally the guy stormed away and said, I'm not a sinner. I don't have that problem. I don't need Jesus. But somebody else had come off the beach that day who went to the beach specifically to, well, remember, this is Rio, okay? Rio de Janeiro. If I say he went to the beach to see what he could see, I'm not talking about the beautiful ocean waves. And he was heading off the beach, going to walk to McDonald's to grab some lunch, when he overheard this conversation and didn't want to butt in, but was feeling so empty and so yucky from what was in his mind because of what he went to the beach for. And when the one guy stormed off the conversation, he came over and he says, I get it. I recognize I'm a sinner. My thoughts are not God's thoughts. That individual came to Christ that day. He understood that Jesus Christ deals with sin. He is there to take away the sin of the world. Sometimes when we are witnessing, we don't even know what God is doing, do we? I am sure that the person who was witnessing and couldn't convince the guy that he was a sinner thought, oh man, there's an opportunity gone. But it needed to be there so that the other guy would hear as he was walking past and linger and listen and eventually himself come to Christ. Jesus deals with sin. My sin, your sin, the sin of the people who go to the beach to perv, the sin of our neighbor, the sin of the people that live around us. Jesus deals with sin. Well, we had the first point. Can we carry on in our message here? Well, I haven't got a lot of time, and there are so many things I could say out of this passage. It's not only the passage, the background that we got to look at. We see the personal invitation, verses 37 down through verse 39. Verse 37 through 39. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, seeing them following, and said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. They followed Jesus. Verse 37. They made the decision to change their life. They followed Jesus. Some people hear an invitation and they quickly come and they quickly understand and they quickly follow. Michelle and Alan were two such people from our very recent past who came and followed Christ very easily. We invited them to come and give God another look, and that's exactly what they wanted to do, and they followed Jesus. There was, again, down in Rio, a guy who was there at Eponema Beach, another beach just down from Copacabana. And he went to the beach that day, again, to find a girlfriend. One of our young ladies was there passing out booklets and talking with people at the beach that day. And she got tired, and it was lunchtime, and she went and she sat on a bench and began to eat her lunch. A guy comes and sits on the other end of the bench and then kind of glances over her way and scoots over a little bit. And glances over her way and scoots over a little bit. And then kind of looks at her, and then he scoots over a little bit. And he says, "Oh, I would do anything for you." "Okay, ladies, at this point, what do you do?" She whispered up the quickest prayer, "God, help me know what to say." And she says, "Anything?" And he says, "Anything." And she says, "Here, read this tract." And she takes a big gulp of her drink, and he begins reading. And he reads, and as he's getting through it, he begins to cry. And by the time he gets to the back, he's so broken up, and he says, "I came looking for a girlfriend. I found a whole new meaning of Christ." Wow! And that young man came to Christ there on a bench at the beach that day. What was he looking for? He was looking for somebody who he could follow around, and yet he found Jesus Christ. Jesus asked these people a question. I don't know how good you are at asking questions, especially of unbelievers. Jesus often did. I find in Australia, it is a great way for us to get them to talk. Because if I'm doing all of the talking, they usually can't hear Jesus speak. They need to begin to think through it in their own mind. And then once they start to ask questions, themselves or begin to have input, then I have the opportunity really to share Jesus Christ. So if you're out there trying to witness to somebody and you're not getting anywhere, try to get to the point where you can, as Jesus is saying here, what do you seek? Give them a question where they have the opportunity to respond. Now, these people here, you know, don't quite get it. Because they're, in some ways, trying to lie to Jesus. Well, where are you staying? And that will often happen with us when we're sharing Jesus Christ. People will give us a distraction off to the side rather than to what they're really seeking. Did they really want to know where he was going to spend the night? Or did they really want to know him? And did they really want to know God? I think they wanted to know God because they didn't leave the next morning. They followed him. Jesus gives them an opportunity when he says, "What do you seek?" to actually look into that. We have a ministry in Australia that we do called Focus, where we're on the university campus. You saw one picture of with me with a whole bunch of college students, probably 80 college students in our average Bible study, sometimes as low as 60, sometimes as many as 110. On the university campus with international students, and the whole thing of it is, what is Christianity? What do Christians believe? Come and find out. And we have a dinner meal for them, and we sing one Christian song, and we have a Bible study, and simply open the Word and talk about what Christianity is all about, and then give them an opportunity to ask any question they want. And if you were the one speaking that day, after it's all done, you have to get up and defend what you said and be ready to answer any questions they have. That's kind of intimidating, but God is good. It always goes well. I had a person sat next to me the last time I was in Focus from Beijing. He said, "My grandparents, they were Christians. They followed Jesus. My parents, they follow Mao. They're miserable. I came to find out, should I follow Jesus or should I follow Mao?" Wow! What an opportunity! Now, he hasn't come to Christ yet, but, you know, he's got a couple years of university yet, and we hope that he continues to come and seek and learn what Jesus is all about. So, when they say, you know, they're looking at all of this, what does Jesus say to them? He says, "Come and see. Come and see." Verse 39, then he said to them, "Come and see." John chapter 6, verse 37. "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." You see, this is an invitation with a promise. God is doing some great things. God is still calling people to himself. Whether we are seeing it all the time or not, God is still seeing people come to know him. And when the last one comes to know him, when all that work is done, we'll go and be with him. And that'll be far better. Hey, you got it good living here in Forest Ranch, but heaven will be better. I've got it good living where I'm at. That's part of our problem, is life is too easy for most people. Life is too good. And so most people don't give God much of a thought. It's our biggest problem, is getting them to see that they have a need. Well, that's the guy who slid down the bench in the middle there. I'm behind here. Come and see. When we were down in Rio de Janeiro, standing there at the foot of that great big statue, you know what the name of the statue is? The name of the statue is Christ Redeemer. And people would say, "Well, I get Christ, but what does Redeemer mean?" Talk about a wonderful opportunity to say, "Well, let me show you." Let's look at that. We were doing such a good job there at Christ Redeemer statue. It actually literally is a
Sunday school rooms, basically. We were doing such a good job of witnessing there that the Catholic priest kicked us off the mountain. So you can talk to people in the parking lot, not up here. You see, our desire is for people to see Jesus Christ.
Have that opportunity, that invitation to come and see Jesus themselves. If we were to go on and had the time this morning, we could also see that there's an extended opportunity here. If you go the next few verses, you get Andrew, who brings this guy named Peter. Now, if you're out fishing, do you like to catch fish or do you like to catch fish? You like to catch the big ones, right? Andrew goes fishing, brings his brother Peter. Is Peter a fish or is he a fish? He's a big one. He has a pretty big impact in what is going on. Because here we see in verse 42, Andrew brought him to Jesus. Andrew tells Peter to come and see this Jesus, the one that they call the Messiah. You go down the next few verses and you get Philip, verse 43 down through 48. And Philip brings a guy named Nathanael. You see, it's not just this personal information, it's also an opportunity to come and see. The following day, it says in verse 43, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." There's the personal invitation. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" "Objection! I'm sorry, that can't be it." We get that all the time. Can you handle an objection when somebody says, "You ought to give Jesus another look, you ought to give God another look"? Philip does. Because Philip said to him, "Come and see." It's that extended opportunity. Come and see. Nathanael's life has changed when he looks at who Jesus is. Oh, there are so many more things I could share with you. We've had opportunity to, at Olympics, reach out to athletes. This particular guy's from Russia who came to Jesus Christ was showing off his gold medal. And the person said, "Well, thank you for showing me that. Thank you for letting me touch that. Can I give you something in exchange? Can I give you something for letting me do that?" And he gave him a trap, and the guy came to Christ. Being in the right place, being there ready to extend an opportunity. Another person Barb was working with who was there being able to work in the athlete's village. Barb and I love, now I'm an outgoing kind of guy. I love to talk. I'm very, sometimes too vivacious. Barb is very quiet. She doesn't mind standing next to the wall and just kind of talking with people as they go by or looking for people who are sitting around bored. That's more Barb's speed. And yet God uses both of us. If you don't know, Barb and I have become not only church planters, you're church planters in Australia. About 10% of our time now, overtime, we're not taking away from the church, 10% of our overtime, we're tossing into sport event evangelism. C, sport event evangelism, okay? You get that? C is not the letter C, it's not the ocean C, it's C, S-E-E, sport event evangelism, where we're able to be there in these massive sporting events and share Jesus with the people who are there. Whether it be the athletes, which doesn't happen near as much as the spectators. Barb and I have been privileged to be parts of groups that have led as few as like 45 to Christ.
and as many as 600 in 10 days. What can we say to you other than God is still calling people to Himself? And we are so fortunate that you partner with us so that we can be involved in that. Your gifts and your ongoing support help make that happen, and we appreciate it very much. I'll be going to Russia here real soon, and we need to get some booklets printed. Probably a couple $1,000 worth of booklets to be able to take to Russia so that I'll have those so that we can give to people over there. God knows. We're looking for the people who are going to partner with us in that as well. To be able to continue on and see good things happen. But let me tell you one step farther than that. Because Barb and I are leaders of that now, you got an inside track. Okay? Too late at this point to head to Russia with me in June because we can't get everything in place for visas and all that kind of stuff. But in 2020, Barb and I are going to be leading a group of people to Tokyo for the Summer Olympic Games. If you would ever desire to be part of what God is doing and giving people an invitation to come and see Him as their Savior, you want to see how Barb and I work? Come and see. Be involved with us in Tokyo. Anybody in this room is invited. It's a simple doctrinal statement that matches very easy with this church, okay? And a commitment not to argue and fight with other people that are there sharing the gospel with us. But I invite you to come and see what God is doing.
Come and see is an invitation and an opportunity. When we look at the reality of who Jesus is and what He has done, we have to make a choice. We can accept His offer of real, authentic relationship for eternity. That would be rare, a real, authentic relationship for eternity. Or wait it out and experience His wrath later. Your choice. You get the opportunity to give people that same choice. Three questions and I'm done. First one is, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you? I don't know everybody in this room, okay? I know some of you because I've been around a few times. Some of you I don't know. But if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior yet, I'm happy to talk to you. Barb's happy to talk to you. Pastor's happy to talk to you. There are other people who would be happy to talk to you too about what that's all about. If you have accepted the invitation above, what are you doing about it? Are you like Philip and Andrew inviting others? There are still people in this area who need to come to know Christ. Are you there inviting them to come to church? Not to see your fantastic building. It's not a bad building. It's not a bad spot. But to come and see Christ. Come and give God another look. Sunday school was great this morning in looking at the attitudes that we ought to have because they're God's attitudes. The songs that we're saying had great words to them this morning. Even the special number just before. Opportunities are plentiful. Are we looking for the next one? Are we asking God for eyes to see the opportunities around us to extend an invitation to others? You know, we have to ask God for those kind of eyes because otherwise we'll miss it. I'm your missionary. I live for giving that opportunity to people. And I still miss those opportunities occasionally. It's the number one prayer I covet is that God would continually give me the eyes to see the opportunities right in front of me. That's how you pray for your missionaries. And then all the other things too. But pray that they see the opportunities. Pray that you see the opportunities. I pray that prayer before I get out of bed every morning. God, there's going to be opportunities in this day. Show them to me. I don't want to miss it. Show them to me. Let's pray, shall we? Thank you, God, for your word. As we've looked at this passage very simply, very quickly, we know, Lord, that you are doing a great work. You, when you came from the glories of heaven to this earth to live a life as an example for us, but so much more than that, to live and fulfill all righteousness, a life without sin, and then to die on the cross, not to pay for your sins because you didn't have any, but to pay for my sin, the sins of the people in this room, the sins of all who would call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. But then it didn't stop there. You didn't just die, as we talked about for Good Friday. You also rose again from the grave, which we just celebrated at the beginning of this month in Easter, to prove that it worked, that forgiveness of sins is available through faith in Jesus Christ, simply accepting what he has offered. Today, Lord, we are here, and I do pray that everybody in this room would come to grips with that reality. And then, Lord, as we come to grips with that reality for us personally, that we would be people who would be eager to be a part of what you are doing, whether it's as this church has been partnering with us financially for us to be in other places other than Forest Ranch to be able to share Jesus Christ, or whether that would be us sharing Jesus Christ here in Forest Ranch. Lord, help us to see the opportunities you have for us and to take them. Continue to draw people to yourself, as we know is your plan. Continue to help us to be eager to do our part. Lord, I even pray that in the future we'll have some of the people from this room join us in some of the great sporting events of our world as we share Jesus Christ with people there. But in all things, Lord, we ask for you to get the glory, for you to get the honor, for it to be you that we are drawn to. Not to a program, not to a missionary, not to anything but you. May you get the glory. May you get the praise, because you are the one worthy of it. In Christ's name I do pray. Amen. Pastor?
Thank you, Matt. And if you, as you're listening to Matt and that invitation that's in his message, if you've not received Christ or if you have questions, let me just extend his invitation in a very sincere way. We're here as a church to work with people who have questions. And so we would delight to share with you and spend time talking.